a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis this morning, and we are joined by Liz Hamilton. And you just couldn't get a prettier day, you guys. Blue skies, the air is clear. My favorite is right after it snows.
Yeah, it seems like that the winter is being fought off by spring a little bit finally. You know, we're supposed to be up in the mid to high 50s, I think Tuesday of this week. So slowly it's coming around.
We need it. We need that breath of fresh air. I'm going to let Liz take this next question. The texter wants to know, they want recommendations on pruning established lavender plants. And Liz, they want to know when and how much would they be able to prune?
Yeah, you can totally start pruning lavender in the fall as it begins to die back. And that way the snow doesn't lay heavy on top of it and break branches down underneath in that woody crown. So in the fall, I usually take off the blooms, but I leave the top. And then as the spring comes in, I give it a look and see how much has survived our winters, because in certain areas, lavender can be a little marginal or they take a hard hit sometimes. And then I'll take it down to into a nice round ball if I can do that, but never cutting into that woody crown because it won't come back from that area. So usually about one third is what I take down every year.
And tonic can be a problem if you take more than that, right?
It can, because the lavenders are actually more what we would call a sub-shrub. It's somewhere between a perennial and a bigger shrub. And as Liz mentioned, if you prune too far down, it will cause it to have very little to no new growth, and it will kill it.
All right. Next listener is asking, they say they have a four-year-old peach tree. When they prune it, the sucker branches shoot up very quickly and steal the sunshine. Can we keep cutting them down?
Well, when you prune on those, you're going to go into the tree and you'd perform what's called summer pruning. And sometime in late May to June, as those start to pop out, you can take most of them out by just pinching them with your thumb before they really get going. You want to leave some of them to generate new growth. So if you have an area of the tree that's a little more empty that you could use some growth in, or areas of the tree that have really old branching or something, but you're going to use some of those for renewal growth.
All right. Jeff is on the line in Layton. Good morning, Jeff. What is your question?
Good morning. Hi. Hey, last May, planted four blue Atlas cedar trees, about 7 feet tall. Got them from J&J. Did really well. They were great all through the spring, the summer, the fall. And now I look at them, and they look like they're dying. They're, a lot of the branches have lost needles on them, and they're definitely not the color that they had been. And I know, you know, there's probably some transition through the winter, but I'm wondering, they don't seem to have a lot of new growth on the buds or anything at this point. Are the trees lost at this point? I guess I'm asking if it's too early to decide if I should, you know, start considering something else for this area. It's a new yard, or if maybe I should let them go and wait and see type thing with these things. So any ideas?
Go ahead, Ton.
Okay. Well, on your blue Atlas cedar, they oftentimes will, especially their first year or two, have problems with the needles desiccating or drying out. And okay. So what you'll want to do is just give them time, because oftentimes they will re-needle. We also got cold, and those right. came out of the Pacific Northwest, where they're never under about 20 degrees, and that's pretty cold for up there. And then you've brought them to Utah, to where they're experiencing temperatures to where they're at the threshold of not being cold hardy, and they're just not established. And so as long as they were watered last fall and not yeah. drought stressed, I think that there is a chance that they will this April or May re-needle.
Rebound a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
I don't know, did you get an extended warranty or anything with them, or would?
Yeah, know. I'm fine. Yeah, that's, it was just, they're limited to where the availability. So I had waited and waited yeah. and waited and got
you
them.
You may want to shoot some pictures of them and, you know, okay. contact J&J and just say, hey, I'd like to leave these in the ground. Can, you know, they may be able to work with you a little bit. I know yeah. the lack of availability, but some things to watch for over the next month or so would be new bud growth. And if you're seeing some bud swell on the branch tips, that's always a good sign. But they're okay. commonly damaged when temperatures reach below 5 degrees.
Okay.
Okay. Liz has something to add to.
Okay.
Did you, when you were at planting, did you remove the wire basket and the burlap
yep.
that was on them?
Yeah, I dug. I tried to do, you know, 2.5 times diameter. I had them above ground level about an inch or two, just so they, the water wouldn't pool down around the roots. I added in some compost and some, all the suggestions that they did for me. And we planted, I mean, this is a new yard, so we planted probably 40 trees last year. And these are the only ones that are struggling. And so I was super happy that every, you know, I didn't have any loss throughout the whole year, even with the drought and whatnot. But then winter comes and these four, yeah, just not looking so good. So,
yeah, it sounds like you did. It sounds like you did everything right. So I think you can also always go out and check the flexibility of the branches, like gently kind of on the branches that have
yeah.
completely de-needled. And if they snap, that's obviously not a good sign. But if they're still bendy and you're seeing that bud swell, like Tom said, I think you've probably got a good chance that they'll be okay. okay.
There's no chance of root rot with all the moisture that we've had on the throughout, you know. I mean, because the ground is just wet all the, you know, the whole this winter and fall. And is there any chance?
I wouldn't.
I mean,
think
it's hard.
So.
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah, on a new planting like that, root rot is not on a tree. Root rot is not super common in that first year, and they do that species likes water. Maybe Ton has something more to add, but
well,
I don't think so.
Do you have pooling water around the bases of the trees?
No.
Then it's probably not. You know, if you were to keep them almost swampy wet for a number of weeks, that would kill them. But
okay.
let them dry out between irrigations. You know, now that they've been in, they're going to root out some. And they're still going to need water probably a couple of times a week. And then you can slowly, you know, get them on more of a once a week deeply if they're on their own system on their third and fourth years. But
yeah.
unless you have pooling water at the base, they're probably okay.
Okay. Perfect. Well, I appreciate the help. Thank you so much.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, both of you on this one, they want to know if you can recommend plants that flower all summer for a north-facing bed. They say it's a bed along their house that gets a few hours of sun every day. They've had success with petunias and alyssum, but they're looking at switching things up, and they're wondering if you guys have some recommendations. Liz, you want to start on this one?
Sure. Say it again. How much sun?
North-facing bed gets a few hours of sun every day, and they've had good luck with petunias and alyssum.
Petunias and alyssum like sun, so if they're doing okay there, I'd say you have enough. I would consider Annabelle hydrangeas. They don't start the season blooming, but once they start, the flower heads on them persist through the season, and they fade from that creamy white into that like lime green, and then they're there for the rest of the year. I have some Annabelles in part shade at my house, and they provide quite a good show throughout most of the season. Everything else I'm thinking of kind of doesn't bloom all year long, but the Annabelles do really well for me in that part shade, part sun, and actually would prefer the shade to the sun too.
And there are other hydrangeas, the hydrangea paniculata. I'm trying to remember the common name, but it looks...
Panicle hydrangea.
Yeah, panicled hydrangea. There's some newer proven winter varieties out that you can get in pink. And the Annabelle, does your Annabelle fade to kind of a pink?
It doesn't. Nope, it stays. So that's hydrangea. White. I'm trying to think of the common.
I think that there's some varieties of the same species as Annabelle, but there are several paniculata and the, what is Annabelle, hydrangea?
I'm doing the same thing. I can't remember. I'll look it up really fast.
But there, you've got to be careful with hydrangea. You want to avoid hydrangea macrophylla. And I'm using that Latin names because macrophylla is big leaf hydrangea. And it is one that just seems to struggle in our climate a lot more than the Annabelles and the panicled hydrangeas.
And the Annabelle is hydrangea arborescens.
Arborescens, thank you.
I was having trouble.
And so there are some arborescens varieties out there that will come out white and then fade to pink, or it'll be more of a pink color.
Yeah, there's a couple called mauvette, like hydrangea arborescens, mauvette or mini mauvette, and they actually do come out pink. The basic Annabelles are Incredible is another, that's a proven winners one. They just stay white and fade to lime green.
I'm wondering, excuse me, Tom.
These hydrangeas are the tried and true hydrangeas for Utah.
Yep.
Okay. I'm wondering if they were actually looking at annuals rather than perennials. So what would be some suggestions for annuals that would do well?
New Guinea impatiens will tolerate both sun and shade, and are a little bit more durable than the old-fashioned impatiens that we use. That might be one.
Begonias. I can't speak highly enough of begonias. They are, and a lot of, like, I think people kind of think of those old ones that you can get in a six-pack for, like, $2, and they stay kind of small, and they have their really small blooms. But there's been so many leaps and bounds just recently in begonias because people were seeing how they can just handle all kinds of different environments, sun, part shade. And they actually handle all our drought really well, and they love the hot summers. There's a whole line from Proven Winners that just came out. Surefire, I think is what it's called, the Surefire Begonia series. They have huge blooms, enormous leaves, and they just powerhouse through shade and sun. I'd highly recommend. I grew them last year to trial them in my own yard because I wanted to see if they'd make it, and they performed beautifully. There's also some dragon wing types that do really well here too.
Okay, any others, Ton?
Well, those are, I'm hesitating a little bit because of that north exposure, because I'm wondering if it's maybe like a northwest where it's getting a little more sun because of the petunias, but I am hedging a little bit because I don't have a great idea of the actual amount of sunlight there. And so we've both been veering towards things that will go just fine on 5 or 6 hours of sun a day. And for annuals, begonias, the New Guinea impatiens would be the main ones. You know, they might get away with coleus is another one.
Oh yeah, for sure. Coleus, it doesn't bloom like, but you can add so much color there would be.
Such
awesome.
Beautiful leaves.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we need to take a break. The number to call and the phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor, Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for being with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. Maria, Ton, and Liz with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next texter says, when can they give their knockout roses a good trim? Ton?
Well, knockout roses are more of a bush or shrub rose that blooms most of the summer. They're actually quite spectacular plants or roses, easy to maintain. And so what I would actually recommend doing is, if they're not too old, just give them a light haircut, and that will force a lot of new growth and a lot more blooms. If they're getting too big, then go in and you're going to have to wear a good long sleeve shirt that's thick enough to stop the thorns. And I would go in and remove about 20 to 25% of the branches, just the biggest branches. Cut them toward the inside and the base of the shrub and just remove them here and there, and then give it a very light haircut. But the knockout roses are pretty nice because they bloom off that new growth. And if they're getting a little big for several years in a row, you just give them a haircut. But you need to be careful that you don't over prune them, because you will cut a lot of their leaf producing buds off. And so every 2 or 3 years, you want to go in and do some renewal pruning.
Liz, next listener wants to know, they want you to talk about using Blue Hubbard as a trap crop for squash bugs. They're thinking of planting one in a large container about 12 feet away from their regular garden.
Yeah, I can totally discuss that. So when I used to work on a farm, we actually used Blue Hubbard as trap crop there. And I will say it does work. They absolutely love Blue Hubbard squash. They'll be covered. But it can also attract those squash bugs to your yard too. So something really important to remember when you're using trap crops is that you need to be scouting those trap crops regularly for that infestation and removing them. So remembering to go out and dump soapy water at the base of that plant so that all the squash bugs crawl out, and then however your preferred method of doom is for that insect.
Oh.
Yeah. Make sure you're using that regularly, because if you just plant the trap crop and then you walk away from it, all you're doing is sending out a beacon that lunch is here, and you're not actually taking care of the problem. So yes, it works. And it works well, but you have to remember to be utilizing the trap crop as a trap. So.
Okay. We have just a couple of minutes before the top of the hour news. Let's take a call from Jim in Riverton. Good morning, Jim.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have probably 5 or 6 lilac bushes, and they grow tall, and they look pretty healthy with green leaves. However, I never get any blossoms, and I know there's a special way to prune those, and I've never figured it out correctly. Prune out the old, leave the new. Most of the new comes from the base. And, I'm just standstill on how to prune those things.
This year, I would leave them alone and see if they bloom. Because last year, if you just gave them several haircuts through that, like, are you hedging them, or how have you been pruning?
I've been pruning out anything that's dead, and that's pretty much it. I'm not really topping them.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of green growth that comes from the base, and I understand I'm supposed to leave that alone, but what about the old stems that are still alive?
Well, this May, if they don't bloom especially, I would go ahead and just take out about 1/3 of the branches. Those big old branches, just take them out as close to the base as you can get them, and mm-hmm. let that new growth take over. Don't trim it. And then, because the lilacs produce flowers off one-year-old wood, and if you trim them in the middle of the summer, then that will cut the flower buds off. And so leave the new growth alone and see if it blossoms.
So the one-year-old wood that looks healthy, leave that alone.
Yes, and you're using a technique called renewal pruning, to where
right,
you're taking
yeah.
out 4 and 5 year old branches.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And so, but you do that just as soon as the lilacs are done blooming.
Oh, after the blooming. Okay. And a real quick question about Simplicity rose hedges. I've got quite a few of those, like 40 of them, and I prune out the dead stuff each year, and I kind of trim them down from the top because they get about 5 feet tall. And I fertilize them. And do I do renewal pruning on those as well?
You certainly can. You need to be a little bit more brave, but you certainly can, and then give them a light haircut.
Yeah, I've fallen into them a few times. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that answers. I appreciate your show. Thank you so much.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Maybe we can answer this question in 30 seconds. Tana, the person knows how to deal with the white flies on their grapes once they get them, but they're saying, is there any way to prevent them?
Well, it's grape leaf hopper, and they could try doing a dormant spray when the grapes are still dormant in late March. That may help, but they may need to veer toward standard recommendations of maybe if they're trying to be reduced risk of using horticultural soap. You can use a systemic on the grapes, but a lot of people don't like to do that.
All right. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.